Hey guys, before we get started, some people have been asking me in person and in Messenger, hey, I am not a member of the LGBTQ, but I really enjoy the podcast. Is it okay that I listen? Listen, this podcast is for everyone, for both those within the community and our allies. It helps us to better understand each other. We're all on this journey together, learning and figuring out how we can be better stewards of the community, better allies to the other letters in the alphabet. So yes, you can listen. It is for everyone. So let's start the episode.
Hello, I'm Lollapalooza, and this is On the Down Lola.
I was actually outed twice.
I'm a volunteer.
To make the job even easier, you do get these little job titles.
Oh, you have no idea how much money I spent on makeup.
Part of the proceeds are going to go to the LGBT community.
Being different alone is an issue.
I wasn't sure if women were allowed in the bar the rest of the week or not.
On the Down Lola.
So welcome to On the Down Lola. Today I am being joined by Sylvia Thomas and Corvin Bothwell. I double checked the pronunciation of the last name just to be sure. If there's anybody who's going to screw up a name, it's somebody who hosts karaoke for a living. All the time. Also, we've got Becky.
Hi.
Shut up, Becky. That's her name. Shut up, Becky.
It's a thing.
Yeah. So today's conversation, we're talking about drag and the transgender community. Some of the things we're going to be talking about today, we'll be talking about gender expression. There are some key terms that we'll be using today, and I think these are probably some of the big hitters we're going to be touching on. For anybody out there who's just unfamiliar or is like, I've heard the term, but I'm not 100% on it. Obviously, the first one, transgender, which I went to Google defines for this because I always find it interesting to see how they define things. But Google defines transgender as denoting or relating to a person whose sense of personal identity and gender does not correspond with their birth sex. Or gender?
It's, I think the fastest way to say it is a person whose gender is different from the gender they were assigned at birth.
Yeah, I think that's pretty concise. Drag queen, or drag, a man who dresses in women's clothes, typically for the purposes of entertainment. Can also be, if you're a drag king, you can be, we'll go through all the different types of drag. There's a lot of different types of drag. Needless to say, it's somebody dressing up with some sort of gender expression, not completely their own, and for the purposes of entertainment. Cross-dressing, Google defines cross-dressing as the act of wearing items of clothing and other accoutrements commonly associated with the opposite sex within a particular society. Cross-dressing has been used for purposes of disguise, comfort, self-discovery in modern times and throughout history. Gender expression, Google defines gender expression as the way in which a person expresses their gender identity, typically through their appearance, dress, and behavior. Genderqueer was defined as denoting or relating to a person who does not subscribe to conventional gender distinctions, but identifies with neither, both, or a combination of male and female genders. And then there's cisgender. This is the one I have a lot of people asking me, what's cisgender?
Probably you.
Yeah. The official definition is denoting or relating to a person whose sense of personal identity or gender corresponds with their birth gender. Means if you're born male and you identify as male, you're cisgender. I feel like that one's pretty easy. If you're cisgender.
Jump in whenever,
yeah.
Sylvia.
If you are not transgender, then you are probably cisgender. So some of the things we're talking about today, I know that within the drag community, there has been a rift in the past between cisgender and transgender queens. That has been a common theme since I've started in drag. Cisgender and those without body modification, because not all drag queens that have been a part of this rift are specifically transgender. Some are cisgender or transgender. Some are cisgender, but have had body modification. And there are those who have not had any any kind of body modification that always feel that it's unfair, which I'm like, are you entertaining? That's my big take from it. I don't care what you've done with your body for performance. If you're entertaining, that's the key for me.
Me too.
It's not fair. I mean, like, then do it.
I know. I'm like, granted.
It's stopping you.
Do I look at some, like, when I'm performing with somebody who can travel with, like, an over-the-shoulder bag, that drives me kind of bonkers because I'm like, no, why do I have to haul all this? But I'm not threatened by them. No,
nothing's fair. Get over it.
Right, true. Life's not fair.
Aren't like a lot of the pageants like Miss Continental? Aren't they like a lot of people like women and trans women? Or are they like?
Oh yeah, Continental of the national pageant systems, America. You can't have any body modification from the neck down.
Really?
Yeah, and I think that those rules still stand with Miss Gay America.
Well, detox is screwed.
And then on the other end of the spectrum, you have Continental. Mm-hmm. And Continental definitely, I feel like you heavily favor that. There's a lot more favor put towards trans entertainers for that one. And then you have USA, which is in the middle, which really, it's kind of anything goes. That one is like, just who gives us the wow factor?
Yeah.
You also have All American Goddess, which... All American Goddess, I don't know if they're the only one of the national pageants, but I know that for All American Goddess, for transgender queens, I think you can be you can have fully transitioned and still compete. Mm. I know some national systems aren't that pleasant, but I know that one allows for a full transition and still allowed to compete.
Right.
Let's see. I also know that there were transgender people that didn't care for the art of drag altogether.
Mm-hmm.
And that one, when I first saw that, I was kind of like, wait, what? Yeah. Like, I get not liking drag just because you don't enjoy the art form. We all have personal tastes. Some people just don't like drag. It's just, they would rather have any other variety of live entertainment.
Yeah.
So on this current season of Celebrity Big Brother...
Mm-hmm.
And I've
been following.
I need background.
Do you watch? We're going to talk about it. Do you watch this season?
Yes,
Becky?
I've been watching the season of Celebrity Big Brother.
Okay.
You're talking about India.
Yeah, yeah. So India, who was one of the housemates, she is a spokeswoman and television broadcaster and journalist in the UK. she does not identify as transgender per her Twitter account. A lot of my research into India has come from her Twitter account.
Uh-huh.
Because she's pretty active on there. She says, I'm a woman who is diagnosed transsexual. But she has transitioned and was a contestant and brought up some points about drag. There was the big controversy. She on the show, India expressed a fear or dislike of drag queens.
Mm-hmm.
And she said she'd never been to a pride festival. She didn't like drag queens. And now it has become a much... bigger controversy with fans of the show of Celebrity Big Brother. But and when I heard her statements about drag, I was like, I want to know how deep this goes. I want to know, because I while I don't identify with gender norms, I still identify as cisgender. And I was just like, am I doing something wrong here? Because I, you know... Nobody wants to deliberately be an asshole. Well, that's not true. Some people like to deliberately be an asshole, but
that's a thing.
Yeah,
it is a thing. We have a president.
I feel like that's a whole season, not just an episode. That's a whole season within itself.
Yeah,
it really is.
LGBTQ and politics. And it has been a source of controversy. On her Twitter feed, she stated that drag was to transgender people as blackface is to people of color.
Oh.
Yeah. And I was like, that's
a statement.
Right. Like, right. If you're going to make a statement, you might as well make a statement. And she did. And she's not alone in this opinion.
Yeah.
There is on Tumblr, there's the page, You Are Not a Woman.
Oh.
And it specifically says in there, it's that she was calling out people for gender appropriation. And she specifically says in her description, drag queens, I'm looking at you. I do want to talk about trans people that do work in the drag world.
Exactly.
But before we really dive into that, let's talk about it. Is drag gender appropriation?
So I was wondering about those.
Okay.
And here is an honest question that I do not know the answer to. Is gender something that can be appropriated?
That is a very good question.
It is.
Like, can you say that half, like, a large portion of the world?
Right.
Unless you're an envy, which in case, like, yeah, okay, don't appropriate envy gender.
And
like,
there's this whole, like, okay, so, like, for example, like, when you first asked me about, like, that gender appropriation, I was like, yeah, what does that even mean? Because, like, you can culturally appropriate, but, like, gender to me is very much of a construct in which gender goes into culture. I feel like gender is a part of culture appropriation in a sense, or culture in a sense. And so,
I mean, there are... I turned my mic down. There are cultural things that identify with gender.
Right.
But for me, I look at this, my two cents about what drag is. For me, drag is a protest against gender norms.
Yes.
Historically, where drag queens come from in the modern sense, as gay men, we were told to be feminine is to be weak, to be girly is to be less than, to be anything other than, a cisgender, upper middle class, white male, heterosexual male, like you were less than.
Right.
And drag was a middle finger saying, you know what? I'm going to wear women's clothes. I'm going to be girly. I'm going to celebrate these divas. And I'm still going to be just as much of a person as you.
I wouldn't even say a middle finger because that just kind of makes it seem punitive. I think it's exactly like a form of resistance.
Yeah.
It's a form of resistance, yeah. It's like really powerful, I think, drag is. Even as a transgender woman, that can mean... I don't agree with this India person.
Well, can I circle back around to the... like? So, I am not here, as a trans man, I am not here to tell any trans woman how to talk, what to say,
fair,
and especially if she's got feels about drag.
True.
Like, you have your feels about drag, you have them, cool.
Right.
And if, like, any questions, I can't answer any questions
answer questions. There are drag kings.
Oh, yeah, and for 3 seconds, I was one, too.
Yeah, but there's male expression, and while I don't think appropriating a group that has historically been oppressive is...
I don't think it's possible to appropriate, like, the prime oppressor culture.
Right.
If you want to say that male culture is a culture.
Right. But it is still about gender expression, and so I want to touch on that. Abraham commented, we are live on Facebook, as I said earlier.
Hi, Abraham.
We are live on Facebook, so people can chime in with their thoughts. He says, I also think you should have done this in drag. Not that you're not a handsome man. Oh, thank you. But I honestly, this was the Facebook Live is more to just get people involved. And
are you hogging the camera?
And I've been in drag.
Wow.
I am. I've been in drag for days now.
I look so good.
Here, hold on a second. We'll spin it around. I've been in drag for days now, so I wanted to give my face a rest. We've got Corvin over here. Hi, Corvin. She is Sylvia.
She is.
We'll talk about that here in a minute. We have Becky over here. Hi, Becky. Everybody watching just got motion sickness. Whoa.
You're doing a great job.
Oh, thanks.
And another thing, because I've been following spoiler alert, India's no longer because she did have such strong opinions, it didn't bode well with everyone that was voting. But one thing that she did say was that her and a drag queen that's on the season, Courtney Hack, did have some very interesting conversations.
They did. Yeah. And some of those I saw online.
Ooh, I
want to
see them.
I'll grab an audio clip and we'll insert clip here.
And
we'll insert that clip here in the podcast.
Courtney Hack with, who is that other rude queen who Courtney was with when they were answering questions?
Willem?
Yes.
Yeah, because they're a part of the AAA girls, which is Willem, Courtney, and Alaska.
Oh, yeah.
They're the AAA girls. And Willem has said some not so favorable things.
Willem is a problematic character.
Yeah, Willem is a problem. She is a. She's got some thoughts.
Love that music video, though.
Yeah, I love.
I mean,
she's. I think she has done some really cool things that I really like. But again,
me too, yeah.
Sometimes our mouths get us in trouble. I will say, today we are not defending all drag queens out there. This is not about defending anybody. There are even if you. Like, for me, I, personally, I don't think drag is gender appropriation. I think it's gender celebration and protest against gender norms put onto us by the heterosexual cisgender population.
Right.
Historically, and I'm not saying all people do that, but there are queens, just like every group, there are people who shit in the punch bowl.
Yeah. What I deal with a lot, I work with a lot of LGBTQ youth. And so for me, I've been dealing with a lot of different perspectives. As a trans woman, I hear gender of women is very important, and like we need to remember that. And like, but then also, I also work with like gender non-binary youth who are like and even like adults who are like, destroy gender, like gender doesn't matter. And most of the time it's like a very like masculine presence, like a masculine non-binary person saying that. And like, I get it, like, trust me, like I would love for gender to go away in a sense, because like I would love to be just accepted for who I am.
Right.
However, like there, as a history person, like I love, like, I don't love it, but I need the preservation of women's history.
Yeah.
And so, like, it's very, like, I'm on this, like, scale of, like, ugh. But I really love how drag exists for that reason.
Yeah.
Because it almost, like what you said, celebrates drag, or celebrates gender. But it also, like, challenges people in a world who don't know who we are as an LGBTQ population. Because for, like, straight people, they love just to go to a drag thing. That's right. The only thing they don't know us for as a community. First thing, is drag queens. And so it's a way of like getting into the mindset and the perception of like understanding where they are and understanding where other people are.
Do you think that some of the confusion that's led to this topic has been drag's slight pullback from a political nature? Because drag queens were heavily politically active.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel, personal perspective, when I watch drag shows, I really don't see a lot of that anymore.
No.
It's more about chasing that glamour, which is fun also, but...
Yeah.
Like Tina Floyd, you live at home.
Oh, yeah. That's a great example. Yeah. Floyd, who was Glitter Boy Floyd and is... Oh, my gosh.
Glenda B. Fierce.
Thank you. Glenda B. Fierce.
Circle City
our current reigning Circle City Pride Ambassador.
Yeah.
And is gender non-binary. And phenomenal representative and very politically active. And I feel like sometimes on Facebook, which I have varying opinions on Facebook, depending on my mood, but I feel like that's where a lot of our politics has gone, and it's become more drama fest.
I think that social media is the natural forum for social justice conversations.
Yeah.
Like, that's where we're going to have these conversations. Because we're not always in the same geographical space to have those combos. We're not always in the same time, etc. And social media just naturally is where these things are going to happen.
I think it's natural for some people, but because there's different types of learners and different types of people that have conversations. For someone like me who like didn't use the internet a lot growing up, like I think I like to have face to face because I have a lot of friends who are like, hey, were you mad at me? And I'm like, no, like, why did you say that? Because the way you texted me, and like, oh, I'm sorry.
I
like,
know.
I don't know, like, how I'm typing is the way that
there's something about the human voice that gives us the ability to, you can tell when somebody's being sarcastic or sincere, things like that, that text printed word can lose. So I think as long as we practice a combination, I see a lot of great things happen on social media.
Me too.
A great example, a member of our community here in Indianapolis felt very ill, and without social media, there would have been no way to convey what's going on with him and his health to the community. And since we use social media, so many people came together and supported this one person that wouldn't have happened with social media.
It was incredible. I watched it.
Yeah. But at the same time, I feel like we have to have that component of face to face, like the four of us are doing right now. I like this. I value this.
I'm fidgeting, and Sylvia is making fun of me every time I fidget. You can't see it happening off camera.
Burped off camera, and then he like Off mic, really. It's not camera. Wow. I'm just such a star.
Do you need a fidget spinner?
I might. I actually might. I don't know.
Becky, do
I don't
have understand your
that. No, I usually have like a fidget spinner and a fidget cube in my purse, but it's in my car.
Is there a
right
drag
now.
Queen that has done like a fidget spinner routine? Because I know
they make fidget spinner pasty.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Fidget spinner things for your nipples?
Yes.
Wow. We're in a new world.
We are. Fidget
2018
spinner, nipple pasties.
Yeah.
To all of my friends out there in the burlesque community, please let me know where you find these because I am it's going to be my obsession now.
We can make that happen.
Can you imagine like an outfit? Like,
can you imagine the glue?
I want a fidget spinner skirt where it's like a tutu almost. It just spins around.
Wow.
Everybody who walks past me would feel like they were in a turnstile.
You'd be like a human ball bearing. That's awesome.
Somebody come grease the wheel.
No. So something I feel like we're talking about like a lot of us now, we're talking about a lot about how we like drag. And I feel like I've heard some negative stuff too.
Yeah.
I was curious because as someone like me, I came from a different, very different perspective where I I was supported by community and that community included drag queens. And it's like more of a sense of community that you need them in a dire need, not in the sense where it's like, oh, they're there and I'll see them on Tuesday. It's like, no, we're all like trying to survive every day.
Yeah.
And so I have grown up like seeing drag queens and like when I came, like, you know, I just love them and I respect their art because as an artist too myself, like I see it themselves as an art and I know the artist also behind their drag persona.
Yeah.
And so I was asking some youth, like especially because I feel like it's a lot of youth that hate like youthful trans women. And
I don't know. I think it goes across the spectrum.
Across the spectrum? Yeah. I ran into a lot of most of the time. And this is just from my observation. This isn't like a statistic from the ACLU or anything. Like, this is like me and my observations in life. I've met a lot of like, especially privileged, supported, like white transgender women who have never like needed community like I have in a sense.
Okay.
Who view drag badly. And I see that and like I try to understand for them. But I can never understand how drag is terrible. I can understand how people, drag queens, can be terrible to trans people. But, like, in a sense, like, I don't want someone to look at me as a trans woman and be like, oh, disgusting.
Right.
I don't want to do that to an artist like a drag queen.
Well, and to kind of get back to my inspiration for this, one of the things, when I heard India say this on Celebrity Big Brother, there was an outpouring of people tweeting at her with photos of her with drag queens and at pride festivals.
Mm.
So I gathered that, okay, this may not have been a lifelong opinion. So I was really scouring back through her Twitter feed because I had an afternoon where apparently I had no other plans. She is, might I say, very active on Twitter. Very. There was so much to go through. But I found, like, there was this line drawn where it's like, oh my gosh, go check out Miss So-and-so at this show. And then just, like, drag is evil. And right in there, she had tweeted an article out of the UK that equated trans and drag as being the same thing. And I have always, in my adult life, I've always existed around a slurry of gender identities. A slurry.
A cornucopia.
Yes, a cornucopia. I have never in my adult life seen gender as A or B, and that's it.
Mm. Well, you have a really unique experience.
True.
I mean, so let's go back to like what you were just saying, like, hey, that I think what Sylvia was saying, like, they're trans women who are, like, really against drag.
Yeah.
And, again, I'm speaking completely out of school. I am reporting what I have heard from other people because they are not present.
That's fair. And if anybody online has two cents
absolutely.
About this, please tell us.
Come on!
If I'm speaking out of school, please, like, I will hear it. I welcome that feedback. So what Sylvia was saying that these women may not have needed community that the drag community provided. And you were saying how this article came up with how people, like, we're going to assume, like, cis folks who, you know, are gender basic, the gender basic crowd is like, okay, we think that drag queens and trans women are the same thing. And that right there, that comparison,
that's from what the makes trans women angry.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're like, fuck that. Sorry, I apologize.
Oh,
it's
fine.
Like, that's not appropriate. That's not who these women are. And a lot of these women, now that I'm thinking back, it's like, these are women who are like, yeah, I get up, I go to work, I, you know, worry, like, I don't want to spend an hour working on my hair and makeup. I want to, like, put in a pony and hit the door.
Literally,
know?
Me. Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's something that's counter, I think, to the drag aesthetic, which has a much higher focus on glamour.
And I will say, like, going online, I found a lot of trans women who were very vocal about this and were, no, like, this, we are not the same. I did not see drag queens.
Mm.
I saw trans women and others going back and forth about this, but I did not see drag queens entering this conversation.
Do you want them? You want them to be like...
I'm wondering, is that... Again, drag queens have always historically been very politically active.
Yeah, I have a poem line where I say, I thought about drag queens demanding democracy, diluting drama, and giving the damned more damage.
And yeah. Like,
yeah. That's
and what so I think that may be an area where drag queens have been doing a disservice. Again, like we're all stewards of our communities, and within... Like, this is one thing, one popular discussion I see come up is the definition of the alphabet. The LGBTQIAA.
Right.
And there was a talk about, well, one of the A's is ally. No, it's allies are supportive of the community, not members. But, and you're either in this alphabet or you're an ally or you're not. But even within this, I'm not a transgender person.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm either an ally to the transgender community or I'm not. So even within the alphabet, we are still playing ally to the other letters. And if I'm a good ally, wouldn't I step forward and shouldn't I step forward and be like, excuse me, put a lever in there, we're different. I do this as Lola is, which one, I don't really think of a gender with Lola. Predominantly, obviously, severely, heavily feminine influence, but I do not, even in drag, play by gender rules. But it is still like, I know the difference. If I'm here as a statement and as resistance, as you said before, to gender norms, why am I not speaking up saying, nope, put a lever in that, we are different people. This is not who I am, it's something I do.
And I agree with that because, like, I don't get why drag queens wouldn't just, because it's true, it's not the same thing. I don't get why it's so hard for a drag queen just to say, like, if somebody came up to me in a bar and said that, aren't you the same as a transgender woman, I would just flat out tell them, no, it's very different.
Yeah.
And I don't get why that can't just be portrayed the same way on social media.
I can't answer that question directly, but it depends on, like, if you're talking about a person who is culturally feminine.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just talked about how we can't appropriate culture, or gender. You could definitely appropriate culture, but how it's like, I don't know if we can appropriate gender. But, like, there is something there, and this is, it's a work in progress, people. I'm thinking out loud.
It's all right.
But... if somebody, like, is viewed as feminine, and especially, and let's just go ahead and say a cisgender man who is somewhat gender nonconforming and takes abuse for these perceived femininities, that's a person who, especially just experiencing the brunt of patriarchy, is going to be like, no, I get it. I have to experience crap because of who I am.
Right.
And so I understand on some level what's happening here. And that's where I think people might be like, okay, you understand on this level, but like we're literally talking 20 levels up from what you're talking about. And that maybe that's like where the bridge for empathy can exist. It's like, okay, I understand having some, and this I here is somebody who's like, no, I get harassed for the way I walk and the way I talk.
Yeah.
Or
it's when you hear a drag queen say, oh my gosh, it's so hard to be a woman. Bitch, hold up. It's maybe hard to be a drag queen, but as a cisgendered male wearing a dress, can you really say it's so hard to be a woman? Mm. If you were making, again, there's that line between making an honest statement that you believe in and making a statement in sarcasm to bring a point to something. But if you're making the statement genuinely and you are not a woman, I think that is where, that is that area where I think that appropriation argument can really come into play.
It's something, I don't know, it's like, it's taking on somebody else's burden when you can remove it. Yeah. And it's something that is not removable for cis and trans women.
Yeah.
Like, it's not something they can just take off.
I would like to, I kind of was talking a little bit earlier about trans women and like how the certain, what I've noticed that a certain audience of trans women that don't like drag queens, in a sense, because I don't think a lot of them have met a drag queen in a way. Does that make sense? And because I think they're angry at them because of the whole, like, I've experienced it so many times where people are like, oh, are you a drag queen? Like, I'm pretty sure that's why they hate drag queens.
Right.
But that, to me, why would you hate the drag queen? Like, the drag queen isn't, to me, is an artist that's, like, not perpetuating, like, you know what I mean?
I never see them
doing that.
And another thing that, like, I kind of reminded me when you were saying about how, like, I forget exactly what you said, but to have the privileged...
Yeah, like, privileged, like, you know...
That haven't needed the community
and
everything. Like, that just brings me back to something that I remember India saying on Celebrity Big Brother. She said that the LGBT community has not done anything for the trans community.
Well, what has the trans community done for the LGBT community that keeps getting stolen from the trans community over and over and over again?
True.
Like, that is real. And we can talk about that another time.
Oh, actually, like, can we?
That is real.
I want to dive into this a little bit, though, because I think that can be part of the greater issue here.
That's what I was thinking, too.
What? Because, again...
Who threw the first brick?
Oh, true.
Don't
Very
be
true.
Telling me and like
at what? Stonewall is what
yeah,
we're contacting.
Like don't be saying that isn't that we owe so much.
True story.
To the trans community
and femmes and like we just oh like I was.
Like there's all of these like LGBTQ house projects, and they're all helping like all these different types of LGBTQ youth. Most of them are probably white homeless youth. And there's a lot of queer people of color youth who aren't helped. And, like, let's not forget STAR, like, Street Transvestite Action Revolutionary.
Yeah.
Like, Marsha B. Johnson and Sylvia Rivera, trans women of color, who saved trans sex workers on the streets. And then now we have all these LGBTQ homelessness shelters, and they're always the same kind of youth that need to be helped. And, I mean, I'm not saying, like, oh, we're, like... helping the youth is bad, like, help the youth, like, I don't care, like, they're all different races, but there seems to be, they're forgetting to be intentional about who they target and who needs critical help assistance now.
And I need to jump in and circle back around on something, like, this, I really want to challenge the idea that the trans women who are anti-drag queens have access to a privilege that keeps them from enjoying drag. I don't think that's fair or true.
Okay.
I just wanted to make that statement.
And just to backtrack a little bit, just because everybody listening comes from different educational backgrounds.
Right.
And it's not like queer history is taught in school. We're starting to see it on college campuses. So I will take the win for the battle, even though the war is still going on. But what we're talking about, something that has been stolen, we were talking about Stonewall and that first brick being stoned by Martha P. Johnson, who was a trans woman and entertainer.
Marsha.
Marsha.
My hearing is bad.
That's all right. My speech is worse, so we're well matched. But this is seen as the moment that kicked off into high gear the what was coined the gay rights movement. It was the gay rights movement for the longest time, and then the alphabet grew, and it was kicked off by a trans woman.
Mm. Well, also, I want to say, like, language has evolved. And I mean,
true,
not a lot.
True.
Language, I mean, back in the day, like,
language and understanding.
Marsha P. Johnson would not have identified as a trans woman. No. She would have identified as a crossdresser or a gay man wearing drag. Like, I mean, that's the truth. And I feel like, as a historian.
This is education for me, then. So she.
Well, it's tricky.
So the language wasn't there at the time. So, like, as a historian who cares a lot about language at the time, language in general, I think that, well, from what I've saw from documentaries, what I've read about her, and what I've, like, et cetera, like, I've researched her a lot. My degree's in history, in U.S. history, and specifically LGBT history. And with her, it was not the language back then. Like, transgender became a word in 1980. And so, like, people were using transsexual and stuff like that. And even then, that can be different for, like, what you've been through, maybe medically, or what you've been through.
Can we talk about that term specifically? Because I think there's still confusion about that. What is transgender and what is transsexual? And what is the relevance with those terms?
So transsexual is falling out of use.
Right.
To be used just for clarity, transgender.
Right.
There is this idea that medical transition is what makes
someone
a trans person, and or just validates a person's trans identity at all, which is just we're throwing that out. We've challenged that and said no.
However, I feel like 50 plus still use it.
Yeah,
I still respect that.
Yeah,
I will never not call them transgender, because that goes with my love for history and language.
Do you think some of that comes from the fact that when gay and lesbian and transgender first kind of met under the alphabet and were being identified, there was that confusion between one is gender expression, gender identity, and one is about sexuality. Mm. And calling it transsexual kind of made people assume that it would be sexual instead of about gender.
Mm. I think it really comes down to people talking about surgery.
Okay.
Yeah. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure it's about surgery.
Most people just, like, when they first out, like, when they meet you, I don't know, when a cisgender person has only met, like, or only researched trans people and never actually met one, they're usually like, so, did you get the surgery?
Yes, always.
All the time.
And, yeah.
Now, that is actually on my list for a future episode. I do want to talk about having that conversation.
I don't.
You don't want to talk about it?
No, I mean, that's how I have that
conversation.
Oh, you
don't want to have that conversation.
It's like somebody's like, oh, we're going to have a conversation about surgery.
Are you planning on
having one yourself?
Right. It's like, I want to talk.
No.
And I want to focus more on the do's and don'ts. Because I think there's wanting to better understand.
Right.
But there are wrong ways and right ways about it. And there's also asking questions, not because you're wanting to understand, but because you're frankly going to probably use it against them.
I think what people forget when it comes to that is, like, for me, understanding is, like, if you want to understand, like, you can educate yourself. But if you want to ask questions, that I feel like people tend to forget what level of personal relationship people have with the people they want to ask.
Yeah.
So, like, if a stranger were to ask me, no way in hell I would ever respond.
Right.
But if you were to
it's
be like,
personal.
Hey, Sylvia, like, I've known you for so many years.
Right.
Would you mind, like, hi, like, how are you doing, like, with you as a trans person, like, you know, like, do you want to get surgery? All this stuff, like, wanting to know who I am. Because, I mean, being trans is a big part of my life.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, well, yeah, let's sit down and talk about it. Or, yeah, and so.
I think when people focus so many of their questions on the transition itself,
mm-hmm.
I think from what I've observed, they're missing the mark.
Right.
Why don't we ever ask, what has your experience been like? If somebody really wants to be an advocate for you, why are they not asking, how can I help to lessen the amount of shit you have to take from stupid people?
Mm.
Yeah, that's actually a great question. Mm-hmm. But hey, let's talk about drag queens.
Okay.
Drag kings.
Kings.
Because this
you
is
You used
part
to
of
be
my,
one.
For like 3 seconds, I did drag.
Three
and
seconds.
I wanted to talk about this because up until now, I've been like, no, I get why trans women don't like drag and blah, blah, blah. The reason why I am sitting here today, like why I can happily and healthily do that, is because I spent time doing drag. And that was a way for me to explore my gender identity. And it was, I didn't do it very long. It took me not very long before I was like, hey, you know what? I really don't want to take off the beard. I want to, you know, I really want to stay in drag. I don't want to take off the drag. And that's when I was like, okay, I need to actually confront this. And I went from that, it took almost no time at all to go from, okay, I'm doing drag, to being uncomfortable doing drag because I am a man, I'm not in drag.
That's interesting.
And that's when I was like, okay. And, you know...
So drag was part of your journey of self-discovery?
Oh, absolutely.
And it's definitely been a part of mine as well, because I do identify as genderqueer. I'm somewhere in the middle. And that's...
Sibling.
You're right. And so my introduction to this whole community in a whole was through drag. Before I started doing drag, before I turned 21, I was oblivious, I was ignorant, I didn't know anything. And I came into this community full force as an entertainer, and I had some days, like, I was staring at myself in the mirror, and I just, like, said, I don't want this face to go away. But there's other days where I'm, like, very comfortable in my own skin. And so it was definitely a journey of my self-discovery and everything. And that's another thing that I had a question on as well, with being somewhere in the middle. How does I might be getting off topic of what you brought up, but I'm ADHD, so I'm very scatterbrained. But so because I do identify as genderqueer, but I'm also a drag entertainer, how does appropriation, how would that come into that? Because
you get to do whatever you want.
Yeah.
I don't think
you're genderqueer.
I also don't think you're in a unique situation entirely.
No,
I think a lot
I don't
of
I am either.
I think a lot of drag queens, part of their comfort with drag is that ability to express their gender ambiguity or their gender fluidity.
Right, because we live in a very gendered world. And, like,
we do.
A lot of us can't, like, go to work one day as... Like, I can't show up to work as, like, in a suit and tie the next day a dress. I mean, I could, and then just, like, you know, like, deal with it.
Oh, my
but
gosh,
also
a
just,
suit
like,
dress.
I think it's... Right. But also, I think it's just so much of, like... it's a way of expression for that, because, like, it allows you to, like, do that, to, like, then put on the suit if you want, or then put on the dress if you want, and whatever you want to do, because, like, it's a form of art and expression, and it's hard to, like, I feel like, I know people that do show up to work in a dress, and then the next day in a suit and tie.
Yeah.
That's very possible, but in a sense, from my reality, I can never do that, because of, I mean, I could if I'm doing my art full time, but, like, my other jobs, like, I can't do that, or I'd get fired, because my work would be like, oh, this person's literally crazy. Like,
right. And
which
it's,
is crazy just to think about how somebody would say, oh, this person is messed up because they wear a wide variety of clothing.
Yeah.
And I feel the same way, because, like, there's some days where it's just like, I would love to wear more quote-unquote feminine clothing.
Putting on a dress some days in the summertime, let me tell you.
Yes. Like, I do more... like, non-conforming things. Like, I do come off as, like, to the naked eye as male, and I wear a fur coat and carry a purse.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes you have an immaculate manicure rocking.
Yes, sometimes I do have great nails and things like that, but, like, there's lots of situations where I don't find myself comfortable. Like, oh, I could go out as in, like, a full, like you said, a dress to my work. I would not feel comfortable doing that unless I was in quote, like, I'm still part of my self-discovery. I'm not very comfortable with everything with myself yet. So unless I, like, go to work as, like, an entertainer and as my persona of Becky, I'm not very comfortable out in public, but that's just because of other people.
Right.
I'm not sure if I'm saying.
That makes perfect sense. The only time I wore a binder for, like, a year was when I was doing drag. Like, I wouldn't wear a binder otherwise, partially because I couldn't breathe. But that was difficult.
And I identify with a lot of that. For me, gender, like that whole gender polarity. When I'm like, okay, male, when I'm like, I've got that male head on. For me, it comes down to sex. I am when it comes to sexual interaction, I'm a homosexual man. In life and in society, things like that, I don't, I, because of the discomfort that the world puts on me, mm-hmm. right, I would never just go to work in a dress one day. But, bitch, I will wear some leather leggings and one of my long floppy scarves that I got at Lane Bryant. And I'll walk into work. And luckily, I do have a privilege in that. I work in a salon.
Oh, nice.
And so I work in a salon that celebrated. And when they hired me, they were like, we like that you are a queer person.
Oh, that's cool.
And so, like, I have the freedom to express that. If I worked in a bank or something more conservative or formal, I'd be mortified. I'd throw out half my wardrobe. But you
You're
know,
doing a withdrawal and deposit, darling.
Talk about going through withdrawals.
Listen.
But yeah, so I think drag is for some, not for all, but drag for some is a safe place where they can explore.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I could not. I love makeup. I love makeup. I obsess about it. I would never go, even in the salon, I still would never go in mm-hmm. with a glamorified mug. Maybe I'd put on an eyebrow, because I don't have, I was not blessed with eyebrows.
Stop.
But, you know, so it's a safe place where you can explore that. But also I think it can be a safe place for audience members. Mm-hmm. Because they see that, there are always an open stage show. There's always a new queen wanting to come out. And some of them start and they become phenomenal drag queen entertainers.
Yeah.
Some start, they play with it for a little bit, and they go, maybe that's not what it is. And that light bulb goes off. Something about, you know, it's their realization that I don't want to take this off. This is not for entertainment for me. This is just a part of who I am, or this is who I am.
I don't know how safe drag is, like, as a space, necessarily. Like, I can count on one hand the number of drag queens who are like, oh, yes, drag king, come hang out with us.
Yeah.
That's great. And they're beautiful human beings.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that was met with some resistance.
Yeah.
I understand this is a different side of the coin. But, whoo! In my last show, like a drag queen ripped me off, like took my headphones or something like that out of the dressing room.
Yeah,
like you know, I mean, I just
there are some shady queens out there.
Exactly, like and there are some genuine peachy human beings.
Oh yeah.
I
was gonna say it's and as far as drag being a safe place, I think the space in which we do drag is safe. You know, there are always bad people. I know, like, and for me, one of the things growing up, and I hope she forgives me for this, my drag mother coming up was harsh.
Oh.
She was. And for the longest time, like, there was part of me that really resented some of her harshness. Strict and it wasn't,
godmother.
What?
Strict godmother.
Oh.
Kind of thing.
Oh, it was like, oh, you know, you are not ready for this. You are not ready. And it was like.
Yeah, what is the harshness? Tell us.
And it was, you're the pun of every catty comment when you're on. You are always going to be the Rosen Island of the group.
Who's you?
Being the drag daughter, I was guaranteed to be the Rosen Island of the group, where I was, you know, kind of like I do with Becky. Becky.
It's not, I wouldn't say it's really as bad, but there's definitely that, like, tough love there.
Well, yeah, but the thing is, I think because that harshness existed, I think that has helped me maintain a modicum of modesty.
Mm-hmm. Just,
I'm not saying I'm modest.
The abuse was helpful.
It, honestly, it became helpful, and it was one of those things that I became better for it. I know exactly where all my drag is at all times. And if I don't have an eye on it, I know somebody else does. So it's something I benefited from. So some of those bad things help make me a better entertainer. But to a newbie just coming into it, it's terrifying.
Oh, for sure.
So I think that it's... So I agree. Like, it can be a safe place. And also, you had a unique situation being a drag king.
It was super unique.
There are places in Indiana where drag kings are huge. Bloomington has got a large drag king population.
This was like
Wayne
2012,
used to.
And where, it feels like...
Where did you perform?
Well, mostly with the Bag Ladies and Zonies.
Yeah?
I mean, I have a small... I almost am reluctant to say I was a drag performer because I didn't do... I wasn't professional by any stretch of the imagination. I got some money, but most of it, like... Most of the time, I was... doing it for charity.
Yeah.
But so, and I will take a quick shout out to Latrina Bidet and Hallie Pino and Patrick Reeve, the wonderful drag queens in my life who were very kind and very awesome. And there are other people who were really nice to me. I don't want to be like, you know, it's right. like everybody was cruel. But like,
no, there's definitely there are some those
friction.
Elements.
There was definite friction when I showed up. They're like, what the fuck are you?
Yeah.
Literally. And I was just like, I'm a drag king. And they're like, what is that?
Yeah, you know what you do? Opposite.
Yeah.
I'm the opposite.
Right. I'm like, oh,
and
you
thing
drink
is,
beer. Okay.
finally, somebody to drink the beer. But there are lots of types of drag. I went through and I listed the ones I could think of. Drag queen, and not I don't know that any of these really have a strict definition that any of us could pull. It's kind of unique to the entertainer. But drag king, drag queen. A diva is historically how I knew this one. A woman in drag.
Mm.
Some, and I know there are trans women who identify as divas,
right?
But it's about if you identify, it's the gender you identify with, still performing back. So diva is one I always knew. Bio queen, which is a highly contested term.
Yeah, I know that there's some trans that women do not like that.
Yeah,
one.
There's
sounds
some,
like something that would piss me off.
And I know
that.
I'm pissed off a little bit, but
I know there are some.
Yeah. No.
I typically resort to diva because that's historically the term I knew. Femme queen and faux queen.
What's a femme queen?
What's a faux queen?
These are all bio queen, femme queen, and faux queen are all other terms that I have heard to describe divas.
Oh, faux queen. Yeah, it's like
F A U X. F A U X.
Like diva is the one I'm going to
use. I like
from
diva. I'm like,
drag,
you know what?
I've honestly never heard diva.
Who doesn't want to be called a diva? Now, divas were kind of the counterpoint to studs. Studs being kind of
like,
falling under the drag king.
Would it
title.
Be like more like? Would it be more centered than? Because stud for me is more for like women of color. Is
right.
More like
diva,
for divas for women of color as well.
Diva is very heavily used with entertainers of color. But there have also it is. I have not seen it used solely by one group. I've seen it pretty broad spectrum. I've seen people pull away from it for some of these other titles.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's camp queens, who are okay. comedic in nature.
Right.
When I Googled camp queen, the first thing that came up was Bianca Del Rio's website.
Aww.
Really?
I also think of a lot of the bag ladies under this title.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah,
you know,
yeah,
maybe
yeah.
not taking off the facial hair or you know, it's...
But have you seen some of that? It's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the facial hair where it works as part of the art itself. Like,
oh, and when
like,
it's really pulled in well. Oh, yeah.
Cassidy
pulls it in really well.
Her face is amazing.
Anne Abortion has done phenomenal beard drag work.
And can I just say something real quick about, like, bearded drag as a thing? Because it just brought me up to a point from, again, going back to India from Celebrity Big Brother.
Yeah.
That's more of the kind of drag she has a problem with because
really?
She feels like that is what is making a mockery of the trans community.
Wow.
I think it's because it's not a strict representation of gender.
Exactly.
Well, I am not here to try and engage with India. Because this is the first I'm hearing it, and B, it's like she's family and, you know, whatever.
And also, I would truly to engage with her. I would love to talk with her.
I will say this. I would like the trope of the bearded lady is something that I'm sure could be upsetting.
I can see that.
Yeah, I mean, for me, like, I would say the most insecure part about me as a trans woman is facial hair. I know that you can get that lasered off, but like.
And it's
cost.
Not cheap. Yeah.
Right. And so, like, for me, I mean, that's my most insecure part. But I'm not ashamed when... And I know a lot of other trans women who, like, can't, like, shave. Because, like, they literally, like, their hair is so thick. Or they'll shave, but, like, it'll, like, cut them to death.
Yeah.
Like, so they literally have to wait until they get lasered or electrolysis.
I have some trans women who have come into the salon just for facial waxing.
Yeah.
And depending on how their facial hair grows in, if it's coarse facial hair, like, I would never be allowed to get my face waxed.
I know a lot of friends who...
Because it would
tear
like
my
face.
Do, like, four shots of, like, vodka before they go do it. Like, it's, like, so intense.
Yeah.
That
seems dangerous.
And it's,
it just
and it
helps
is.
Alleviate the pain.
So it is part of that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those things that it is a part of the struggle that I think a lot of people aren't sympathetic to. And I've heard comment. I've heard people make comments about trans women, like, "Oh, there's the bearded lady."
Really?
Yeah.
That's some horse shit.
It's assholes.
You were talking earlier today, like, how do I be a better ally? It's like you tell that person very strongly that they are a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Do you know what's really
right?
Funny?
That's more of a there are still bad people kind of situation.
Oh yeah.
Right. For me as a trans woman though, like I never hear that stuff. I feel like because like. I hear like, "Oh, are you a drag queen?" or "Oh, girl, you can do better," or something like that, or like stuff like. But I never hear like those comments, which is very interesting because I feel like, in the biggest sense, people are right now, especially politically, people are very afraid to approach like trans people altogether. Like as you said, there's a lot of nervousness behind even asking about surgeries, and because people don't know how to approach us. And like honestly, it just starts with the key to doing that is saying. "Hi, my name is, what's your name? Cool, nice to meet you." Like, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
It's just so simple. Sorry, I'm yelling in the mic.
Yeah, but how do you talk to a trans person? You say hello.
Yeah, you're just like a normal person.
And that is funny. I've heard people say that too. How do you talk to, and then fill in the alphabet letter.
Or like,
hi is always a great start.
I think that when people are asking, "How do I talk to this person?" they're exotifying that person.
Oh, yeah.
And they're just like, "I want to get to know this person who represents this group because of reasons that probably feel very touristy to the person they're addressing."
And I will confess my own guilt. I don't have a good way of saying it other than I have tokenized people in my life. Like,
oh, yeah, for sure.
You were my resource for this because I don't... You know, I don't want to be an asshole in life. And, you know, if I say the wrong thing, I always ask, please tell me to either shut up or if there is a correction for me, correct me. And I feel bad afterwards because I'm like, it's not their job to do that.
Right. I was about to say, like, it's not everyone's responsibility to educate you. If you're part of the community, it doesn't automatically make me...
However...
Me or, you, like, say you, you're not automatically... required to educate people if they're wrong.
However, I agree with that a lot, but I've been having a lot of conversations with that with my coworkers. I work in an LGBTQ+ center at IEPY, and we were talking about, like, well, if it's not our job, then whose is it?
Because
I don't want y'all, you know what I mean? Like, I don't want, like, anyone who's not trans to be like, "Let me tell you what trans is." Like, for you, it's a terrible thing, don't ever. No, I'm just kidding. Come out, be proud. But, like, for you to bring us here, like, that is, like, how you educate. Like,
right.
You're bringing people who are trans to, you know what I mean? Like, I've seen and heard many conversations about trans people that, with no trans people around, or maybe, like, a popular rude drag queen or whatever. What I was thinking about a while ago, kind of, like, just, like, shift a little bit, I think. I was thinking about with drag queens and trans women. I was like, wow, like, I don't provide a really negative perspective, I guess, like, about drag queens, and like, besides of what I've seen or what observed or heard. But to me, I want to talk a little bit maybe about the positives, to maybe if we can create some change on this, you know, the show. So I was thinking, like, I'm friends with a lot of drag queens. I mean, hi,
true.
Lola, hi, Becky, like, friends. And... I mean, I'm friends with a lot of drag queens in Indianapolis, Ida Kay, Taylor Made, Ava Taylor, like, Blair, St. Clair. I'm friends with some drag queens, and I get them, and it's, like, I relate to them more sometimes than I do, like, other people or other, maybe even, like, just as people, because for them, they're performing gender in a way where I'm performing gender, even if it's for a short amount of time. I can relate to them. I relate to them in a way of... sorry. Long pause trying to figure out what it is. But I think that me as a transgender woman can relate to drag queens in a lot of ways and find benefits within a relationship with
yeah.
them.
And with... I want to ask you a question about specifically... Because you mentioned sometimes you relate more to drag queens. You are, I think, definitely qualified for the label of advocate.
Okay.
Community advocate, social advocate.
Thank you.
And do you think that a lot of the queens you mentioned also are very vocal and work hard in their advocacy. Is it them as drag queens you're identifying with, or do you think it's their advocacy that you really stand with? Because I think for a lot of people outside of us, they're just trying to live their life.
Right, which is totally great. Like, keep living your life.
Yeah, like, I'm gay, I'm bi, I'm trans, I'm queer, anybody else. I'm just trying to be me, and that's a part of me, but that's it. Like, right. I just want to live my life.
So, for me, I think it's a lot about platform, and, like, when you're talking about these drag queens' names, are they, you know, doing that? I think some of them, yeah, are just trying to live their life. And then I think about, like, maybe they're going through something. Because I know a lot of drag queens who are, like, maybe doing that. And then I think a lot about what I do. Luckily, my art is... I'm a spoken word artist. My art specifically is political, specifically is about my identity and also about how to... I relate with other trans women and I challenge the perspective of other people who do not understand us. That is my art form. However, I know that for some drag queens, that's not their art form, and that's so fine. I still think drag is still a big form of resistance. But if there's, when it comes to speaking out, I don't think anyone's really asking them. Or like, and in that sense, also it's art. Like, I don't think painters are like, you know, super crazy about like, I don't know, environment. Maybe they are. I don't know. But like, I don't.
They work use lead-based paint.
Yeah,
that's
like.
It's like
yeah, and so I mean, maybe that's it. I don't know. I just see artists. There's this whole conversation I think with should artists with a platform stand up politically, and I feel like we definitely see that, and we should say yes. However, I don't know the answer to that question.
I think we just tell me if I'm wrong, but I think what you're trying to say is not all art form is political.
Right.
It doesn't have to be.
Entertainment, true. For sure, yeah. It can be just entertainment, for sure. And not just political. I mean, the personal is political, I will say that. But I will say the people who are drag queens, at the end of the day, like you said, they can be maybe, I mean, not all of them, but maybe some of them are just cisgender white men who literally, like, haven't been exposed to that because they literally come to the gay bar and they do drag and they leave and they go home. Like, they're not, like, out in the communities of different communities with us, knowing like what we go through. And I mean, not to say that there's problems within the gay community of gay men. I mean, HIV is still a huge, huge issue.
I don't know. I don't think anybody should feel compelled other than whatever drives themselves internally to go out and cause a ruckus. Mm-hmm. But I mean, thank God for all the people who want to go out and cause a ruckus.
Right.
Thank God,
yeah.
All right. Well, guys, that is time. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, that's it.
It is. It's
did
like
we
this
answer
is...
your questions?
No, but we talked about them.
Are you sure?
I don't think it's about finding the answer. I think it's about continuing that conversation and let time bring us the answers that are needed.
Can I do a promotion?
Sure.
Hi, I'm Sylvia. I'm putting on a poetry show at Indie Fringe called Poetry on the Fringe. It'll have an open mic and then a theatrical production, which will sometimes include drag queens. Yes, a trans woman producing a show hiring drag queens. And then there's a nationally registered poetry slam. So if you're a poet that want to compete in the National Poetry Slam with the Indiana team, come on out. We'll be there. I'm very excited. All of us that are organizing are LGBTQ as well. It's going to be amazing. February 18th at the Indie Fringe, $7 at 7 p.m.
And Sylvia, where can they find more information?
You can find more information at indiefringe.com, or you can find it for us on Facebook at Poetry on the Fringe and Instagram at Poetry on the Fringe. No space.
Perfect.
And in a completely not worked out or any coordinated way, I just want everybody to know that if you have not seen Sylvia perform, you are wasting time.
Yeah.
You're
missing out.
Make plans February 18th.
Yeah.
You need to make plans.
Your life is less than if you have not.
Like, no.
There will be something that it won't be all of it, but there will be a piece that you can put inside yourself.
Oh, yeah.
That will fill.
First time I met Sylvia was at a performance, and had it not been for that, I wouldn't even like her.
Listen.
No, it's not true.
It's not true. Well, this was really fun, and there's a drag show happening downstairs.
We gotta go.
Yeah.
We gotta go watch that.
Amateur night.
I'm very excited.
Into it.
All right. Well, again, thank you so much for coming out. Lola, On the Down Lola is produced by Lollapalooza Entertainment, recorded at Metro Nightclub on, what is today, January 21st, 2018. I have been your host, Lollapalooza, with technical assistance by myself, Lollapalooza, because I can't afford a staff. Our guest today were, oh my gosh, I almost read the two names here from last time. I should probably have put your names in. Our guests today have been Sylvia and Corbin. Thank you guys so much for joining us. We had co-host Becky helping us out today, bringing up some very wonderful points. We hope you enjoyed today's topic of drag and the transgender community. Again, we gave you probably no answers, but a lot to think about. Join us next week as we talk about a topic that I am going through my list. So find out. I'll post it online. You can find all that information out at facebook.com/onthedownlola or on our website, www.onthedownlola.com. If you've enjoyed today's broadcast, please make sure you follow us and subscribe to On the Down Lola on iTunes or SoundCloud. And remember, you too can join the conversation through our Facebook page. We went live today on Facebook, and we'll be going live every episode to give everybody a chance to chime in with our thoughts and opinions, or you can leave us a voicemail about the next topic that we'll post online at 317-983-4210. Again, the phone number to leave a voicemail is 317-983-4210. Get your voice on the podcast. On the Down Lola is distributed by Podtracks, now offering surveys so you can tell us what you love and what you think we can do better. See the link on our website. Just look for the button that says survey. For the latest on the Down Lola, again, please make sure you check out our website, www.onthedownlola.com.
onthedownlola.com.
With Lola Palooza.
Yeah.
Oh, new jingle. We got a new jingle.
And Becky.